Now back to Luke chapter 23. We're going to try to bring the message from verse 39 down to verse 43. The Lord Jesus Christ declared to this repentant thief, he says, "Today you're going to be with me forever in glory." Now I'm entitling the message, "The Salvation of a Sinner." And that's what we see here, the salvation of a sinner. That's clearly being taught here. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he's dying for our sins, according to the scripture, he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. He reaches out in his sovereign will, and by his sovereign mercy and his powerful grace, demonstrates to us his power to save. Even though the Lord was completely fastened to that piece of wood, he couldn't reach out and touch that man physically, but he did reach out and touch him in saving mercy. He demonstrates for us that he is king in his kingdom. He demonstrates, as it is written there in the text, verse 38, "This is the King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords." He's king in providence, he's king in creation, and most certainly he's king in salvation. The Father had given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to him. As king, as God our Savior, he is the only one who has power to save, to raise up dead sinners. He said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Upon whom I will harden." The Lord plainly demonstrates for us in the salvation of this dying thief that salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. No greater example is seen in Holy Scripture than that blessed truth that salvation is of the Lord. One thief is left to die in his sins, and justly so. Well, the other thief is granted faith and repentance and taken to glory, taken to paradise by the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be with him forever, even right now. Think about it. Right now, this dying thief sits in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in his salvation through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, all believers will gather together around his throne and sing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Now, all this arrangement and all this was appointed by God Almighty from the foundation of the world. The time of this man's birth, when he was born of a woman, this dying thief, and the time of his salvation, and the appointed time, all the circumstances around that time, is all decreed, appointed of God. And in time, he brought it to pass. This man, this dying thief, was given eyes of faith to see the Lord Jesus Christ as all of his salvation. This dying thief was chosen by electing grace before the foundation of the world. And in time, the Lord Jesus Christ is dying for his sin, shedding his blood at that time to put away not only this man's sin, but the sin of all of God's people in Christ and him crucified. This dying thief was granted faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just before he died, he was given faith. What a miracle of grace. Sovereign grace. And this is true of every sinner whom the Lord wisely saved by his purpose and by his grace, given in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. As Paul reminds us, it's God who saved us. It's God who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, throughout the Word of God, we see the Lord Jesus Christ displaying his sovereign pleasure to save sinners by his will, by his purpose, and by his sovereign grace alone. The Lord demonstrates that over and over and over again. He has power to save. But let me remind you of some other examples. Not only do we see the Lord having mercy upon whom he will here in this story, but throughout the Word of God. Let me give you some examples. The Lord had mercy on Noah and his family while multitudes of sinners perished in their sin when the flood came. It says in Genesis 6, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Was Noah any better than any of those who perished? Absolutely not. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was granted faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, had it never rained, and God told Noah to build a boat. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. God had mercy on Noah. God in his purpose saved Noah and his family. Give me another example of sovereign mercy. Not only in Noah and Noah's family, but in the call of Abraham. In the call of Abraham. God called Abraham out of idolatry and bondage while his father died in his sins. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. God didn't call out Abraham's father. He left his father to justly perish in his idolatry. But God sovereignly chose Abraham and called him out. Another example we just read in Romans 9. The Lord loved and saved Jacob and hated and passed by Esau, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You see, sovereign mercy, sovereign grace all the way through the Word of God. Another example of sovereign mercy, sovereign grace, we've seen in our study in the book of Luke. The Lord saved Peter and preserved Peter, even though Peter denied the Lord three times. Remember what we read back over here in Luke 22, where the Lord said to Simon, Simon, verse 31 of Luke 22, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. You see, the Lord, as a mediator for Peter, as a surety for Peter, stood for Peter and interceded for him. Even though Peter had denied the Lord three times, Peter later writes, we're kept by the power of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then we see while Peter was preserved, Judas betrayed the Lord and was left to justly perish in his sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Judas was a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction, while Peter was a vessel of mercy ordained unto eternal life. Judas was the son of perdition from the beginning. Peter was a chosen vessel of mercy unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what shall we say to these things? I know what religious people say. Religious people say, well, that's not right. Religious people say, well, that's not fair. What shall we say to these things? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. God forbid. He has power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him. Now, if you consider all these different men that we just mentioned, Abraham, Noah, Peter, even the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, if you believe the difference in these men, if you believe the difference was because of what these men did or did not do, what they merited or did not, then you believe that salvation is by works rather than grace alone. Now, Saul of Tarsus, when God saved him, what was he doing? He wasn't seeking the Lord. He was on a mission of search and destroy. But God was seeking him. We see that salvation is by grace alone. Who makes you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? It's all of the grace of God. Isn't that your testimony? The distinguishing difference whether man is saved or lost, justified or damned, forgiven of his sin, or he dies in his sin, is the sovereign will of God. The sovereign mercy of God alone revealed and experienced in the Lord Jesus Christ. I, Lord, prayed this. I've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed right in your sight. He will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Now, some wise preacher of the past, my pastor often repeated this. I don't think this originated with him. But some wise preacher of the past said of this scene upon Calvary's tree, in these three crosses, these three men dying there on Calvary's tree, we see they died there as representative men. One, the unrepentant thief, died in his sin and was justly condemned. For the scriptures teach, if you believe not that I am he, the Lord said, you'll die in your sin. And this man mocked the Lord and railed on him. In the center cross, we see the Lord Jesus Christ was dying for sin, as he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity. The Lord Jesus Christ was dying for the sin of his elect laid upon him. So one man died in his sin. One man, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a representative man, was dying for his people to put their sin away. And the other thief represents those granted faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man died to the condemnation and power of sin in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's see what we can learn here. Let's put on our thinking hat today and ask God to be our teacher and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the things of God unto us again. Both of these dying thieves were justly condemned for their crimes against the people. I mean, they were caught red-handed. They were thieves. No doubt they lived the life stealing and robbing from other people. And they were getting exactly what they deserved for their sins against the people and against God. They were guilty before the Roman Empire, before the Jewish people. But more than that, they were guilty before God. That's true of us as well. We're guilty before God. We do not deserve anything from God, but what we've earned, the wages of our sin, is death. Death. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. Do you see that? Do you think that of yourself? That you are worthy of God's just condemnation, that you have sinned against God? Both of these men at one time railed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and mocked him. Look at verse 39. One of the malefactors which hang railed on him, saying, If you're the Christ. He didn't say, since you're the Christ and the one sent of God, you save us, have mercy upon us. No, he railed on him and mocked him, said, if you be the Christ, save thyself and you save us. Now, at one time, both of these men said that. If you read over in Matthew 27, let me just turn and read that to you. Matthew 27. When they mocked him and said he trusted God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. As those around mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 44, Matthew 27, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in their teeth. At one time, both these thieves railed on Christ and mocked him. Both of them did. And here's the difference. Both of these men were desperate. Both were in urgent need of mercy. Both needed forgiveness of their sin. One continued to rail on him, while the other had faith and repentance granted unto him. Look at verse 40. Verse 40. Luke 23, verse 40. But the other answering rebuked his friend. No doubt these two had been companion in thieves. They've been out on many, many a dark night stealing and robbing from other people and doing it together. But the other answering rebuked him. Now, at one time he was just agreeing with him. Now, how do you account for such a radical change? He was granted repentance. The other answering rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God? Now all of a sudden, by the change, this man had a change of heart and a change of mind. Instead of rebuking the Lord and mocking him, he started rebuking his friend and said, you ought to fear God. This man now has a holy reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, had done nothing amiss. Now, one man continued to rail, the other man begged for mercy. Don't you fear God, he says to his friend. You know, men by nature have no reverence or fear of God. They have no love for God, but hatred. Men love darkness rather than the light. There is no fear of God before their eyes, it says in Romans chapter 3. Men by nature do not fear God. If a man has a holy reverence for God, it's only because God has changed his mind. And that's what happened to this man. This dying thief was granted faith and given repentance to reverence God. Don't you see verse 41? Don't you fear God? That other thief didn't. Don't you fear God? To reverence God, this man was given faith and granted repentance to fear God, to reverence God, and then to condemn himself. Dost thou not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? We're getting exactly what we deserve. He's confessing his reverence for God, and he's confessing that we are sinners. We deserve to be rightly judged. This man was given faith to believe the Lord Jesus Christ as the spotless Lamb of God. As it says in verse 41, we indeed justly were getting what we deserve for our sin, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, because he granted faith and granted repentance, he says of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, this Holy One, that's the King of the Jews, that's the Savior of sinners, this man has done nothing amiss. So what is he confessing? What does repentance confess? What does faith confess? The sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the spotless Lamb of God. He was given faith to believe the Lord Jesus Christ as the spotless, holy Lamb of God. In him is no sin. He had no sin and he did no sin. Such a high priest became us who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. He believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Christ of God. He believed that he was the Savior and the King, manifested to take away our sin. This is exactly what saving faith confesses. It confesses a holy reverence for God. It confesses that we're the guilty one. And it confesses that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one, the sinless one, who can deal with my sin. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Saving faith confesses the Lord Jesus Christ is everything in our salvation. You see, this man's faith was not born of ignorance, was it? God had granted this man faith. And he confesses this. You think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ, as these three men are dying, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the first one of these three to die. Both of these dying thieves heard everything the Lord Jesus Christ uttered from the cross. This one repentant dying thief heard the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, and was granted faith. The other man heard the same things. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Both those men heard that message. Only one was granted faith to believe Christ as God and Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's exactly what that man did. Look at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, he said unto the Savior, Lord. Lord. You see that? Lord. What does saving faith confess? The Lordship of Christ. What does repentance confess? The Lordship of Christ. He said unto the Savior, Lord. He is God, our Savior. Lord. Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. What a request. He didn't ask for great blessings. He just asked the Lord to remember him. Remember him in mercy. Remember him in grace. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, you're a king in your kingdom. Lord, remember me. He cried as a mercy beggar, did he not? Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. You see, saving faith has one object. This man didn't look to the Pharisees. This man didn't look to the temple. This man didn't look to the law. He said, Lord, remember me. Saving faith has one object, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Our Lord said, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. I'm the only just God and Savior. Look unto me. You see, saving faith has one object. This man didn't look anywhere else but to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember me. You're a king in your kingdom. Now, admittedly, he didn't look like a king, did he? I mean, he was beaten, bloody, nailed to a tree. He didn't look like a king. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He looked at the Lord Jesus Christ with eyes of faith, God-given faith, and sees in him a kingdom of salvation in Christ. He puts his total confidence upon the Lord Jesus Christ to trust him to the salvation of his soul and the forgiveness of his sin, and the only one who could pardon his sin, Lord, remember me. And the Lord did. Remember, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord prayed for this man to have his sin forgiven, and the Lord right now is forgiving his sin. This dying thief heard those gracious words of the Lord Jesus Christ and looked to the Lord for the pardon of his sin. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of salvation, and he said, Lord, remember me. And he did. He confessed his lordship, did he not? He confessed a holy reverence for God. He confessed he was a sinner. He confessed the Lord Jesus Christ is the sinless Lamb of God, sent to take away our sin. He confessed and owned his lordship. Lord, you can save me if you will. And the Lord said, I will. I will. Look at verse 43. You see, saving faith vows and confesses his lordship. And the Lord, saving faith, takes its place before the throne of God as a mercy beggar. Verse 43. And the Lord Jesus said to him, verily, truly, I say unto you, unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now this thief right now is glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ in paradise. Verily, today you'll be with me in that eternal glory. It's a paradise. Now, it's interesting. After they, in John chapter 19, when the Lord Jesus Christ cried the last words, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ was the first man of these three who died. Remember, it said in John 19 to hasten their death. So they came with clubs and they broke their legs so they could not hold themselves up and they would quickly suffocate as they were hanging there. That the Lord Jesus Christ had already given his life for their sin. You see, and here's the point I'm trying to make about this. A lot of people who emphasize, now you're going to have to follow me carefully here. A lot of people who emphasize when we say that salvation is received by faith, that we're saved by grace, a lot of people who would say and preach and promote that baptism is a way of salvation, that we're baptized to be regenerated, that we're baptized to have our sin forgiven. They say we're baptized, and then we would bring up this example where the dying thief wasn't baptized, and he went to glory. And the argument of the other side would say this: well, the blood of the covenant was not yet in effect because the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't died. Wait a minute now. If you want to follow their argument, he had already died. He died first. See what I'm saying? Follow me if you can. He died first. So the blood of the covenant, of course, it's always been in effect. But according to their argument, it falls because the Lord was already dead when this thief died and the other one as well. So that blood of the covenant was in effect. You see what I'm saying? That takes the wind out of their argument. That takes the power out of their argument. This dying thief was saved by grace alone, not water baptism. Well, the blood of the covenant wasn't in effect. Yes, it was. It's always been in effect, but according to their argument, because the Lord died first. Now, next time you run into that argument, maybe you can remember that. It helped me tremendously to understand and to have a comeback for those who insist upon that baptism is salvation. They basically, that's what they preach. Baptism is salvation. Well, this dying thief wasn't baptized. The Lord took him to glory by his grace, and the blood of Christ put away his sin. Now, let's focus on something right here for a moment. I'll let you go. The Lord says to this dying man, today I'm going to take you to glory. Now, we know what they did with his body. They took his lifeless body of this thief down from the tree, and they probably threw it in a ditch somewhere. They didn't honor his body. He probably didn't even have any kind of a funeral. They just took his body down and threw it in a ditch somewhere, or discarded it down the hill with the rest of those bones down at the bottom of the Mount Calvary. It was called the place of the skull. They just cast his body down there on the ground with the rest of those bones, waiting for the birds to come and pick his flesh away. But that's not where he went. He went to glory. Now, his body went back to the dust, but this man went to glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, for the believer, death is not punishment, it's promotion. This man got a promotion. For the believer, death is not penalty, it's paradise. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul, where are you going? The time of my departure is at hand. And he says this just before they take him out of his prison cell there in Rome and march him down to the execution block to have his head taken off. He said, my departure is at hand. Paul, where are you going? Well, my body's going back to the grave, but I'm going to be with the Lord. The absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ died for this sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ died for this man. The Lord Jesus Christ put away his sin. This man was blessed to hear every word the Lord had uttered and was granted heart faith to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all of his salvation. Now that's the salvation. We know this man beyond all doubt because we believe the record of God. We believe this man was justified by grace and taken to glory by the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord be pleased to do that for us, to cause us to hear his word and to grant us faith to trust and believe him and to take our place before him as a mercy beggar. That dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, may his blood wash all our sin away. May God give us faith in him to confess our sins before God. May God give us faith and repentance to confess his sinlessness as the Lamb of God, to confess his lordship, to call upon the name of the Lord. May God give us faith and repentance to confess the successful work of the Lord. You're a king. You have a kingdom purchased of God. May God give us faith to confess and own the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our salvation. Lord, you're coming into your kingdom. You're a king in your kingdom. Remember me. Verily, verily, I say you unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.